Amen. Can you guys hear me? Yeah, cool. Man, today's been inspiring. It's been encouraging to be able to see your guys' faces, and that video is inspiring. It's so encouraging to see
Yeah.
that 19 people becoming Christians, in the last year, and that's just amazing. I love the game you guys played. We're definitely stealing that. A haunted mystery singing game is always fun. And
Oh my God.
with the ghost singing, but yeah, it's been great. We're grateful to be here. We're grateful to be able to talk with you guys. And so if you could grab your Bibles, we're going to jump in a little bit and let's go to Romans chapter 12. And yeah, so a little, I guess, should we say a little bit about ourselves? Probably, maybe. So we're in Nashville, Tennessee right now. Well, we're about an hour from there. But we help lead the campus ministry in Nashville, and I grew up in the Midwest, and my family moved to Atlanta to try and help me and my siblings, have a better relationship with God in high school, and then ended up going to a bunch of different universities. Ended up at Kennesaw State in Atlanta, and that's where I met Mackenzie. She was a baby Christian at that point, and a year and a half later, I realized that being her friend was not enough, and I had to get to know her better. And so we've been married for 8 years, almost 8 years now, almost 10 years now,
We just did
7 years,
seven.
7 years, and it's been great. I have two kids. Anna is our oldest; she's about to turn 3, and Finn is our biggest, and he's about to turn 1, or he's about to turn 2 in 6 months.
About to.
And then we have a third one on the way. But we're grateful to be here. I know for me, as we're here in Romans 12, and I don't know about you guys, but I love movies. I'm a movie fanatic. I can't watch enough movies. I can't. They're awesome. They're so entertaining. Actually, when I was in college, for a little bit in college, I debated switching my major to journalism so that I could become a movie critic and spend my whole life watching movies and telling people whether they were good or not. And I love movies. And if you did, so in movies, one of the things that happens a lot in movies are amazing, but after a great movie, after any great movie, there always comes multiple movies that have conformed to be just like it. It's like every company tries to then redo the great movie. In 1992, the movie Aladdin came out, and it was awesome, and it was funny, and it was intriguing, and the genie was incredible. And after that movie, for the next 10 years, every cartoon animated film was trying to redo Aladdin. Every one of you can go through all the 90s. They all tried to redo Aladdin. They tried to have a funny genie monster type character. They tried to do it all just like Aladdin. In 2008, the movie Iron Man came out, and it started the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it was so good for its time. And because of Iron Man, because of the incredible success of the MCU, we got terrible movies like Justice League and the DCU, and just, and we even got Tom Cruise's, dark universe mummy a couple years ago. And it was just people conforming to, what had been done before. And this happens not just, it happens in movies, but the dark universe ended because the movie was so bad. But this happens in movies all the time. It happens in every year. All the time, you see a movie come out, and then you see three or four movies that are supposed to be just like it. And they conform to each other. They just adapt what each other are doing. In Romans 12, in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, in movies you see this, right, that they conform and they conform, but we see this in everything, in every area of life. In Romans 12 in verse 1 and 2 is what we read. Romans 12, 1 and 2. But every area of life, we see this constantly, that our world is constantly forcing and expecting us to conform to how it does things. It's expecting us to slowly gravitate toward the norm. You know, the word conform, it's a passive, thoughtless act. It's through unintentional gravitational pull to the norm. You know, this is what our world does, and this is what Satan is fighting for us. It fights for us to do. You know, for some people, Satan wants to quickly get you in sin and get you to run away. But for most of us, Satan's plan is to get us to, over years and years and years, to slowly conform to the pattern of this world.
Yeah.
You know, he wants us to act more and more and more like the world, to still do good things, to still feel like we're doing it all, but to over time, to mindlessly just slowly become more like everyone else. You know, it's unintentional. It's mindless. This is what we have to fight against. You know, Satan realizes that most people, they wouldn't willingly choose to live according to the pattern of this world. Most people who love Jesus, who want to, you know, live for Jesus, wouldn't knowingly choose, I'm just going to go and be like the world and think like the world. We see the effects of it. We see the effects of what our world does and how it's only gotten worse over time. You know, he knows that you, as you chose is to live for Jesus, to follow him, that it's not going to happen by him, you know, putting something out there that you're going to chase after, but it's going to happen slowly. It's going to happen unintentionally. It's going to happen by conforming. It's going to happen because you just, I'm just going to watch a little more Netflix. I'm going to, you know, be on TikTok a little bit more. You know, I'm just going to go to church and just sit back and you know, just mind my own business. I'm going to read a little bit less. I'm going to share a little bit less. I'm going to be open with God and with people just a little bit less. And so slowly and slowly, we conform. You know, we became Christians, and I think so often we think that's enough. And so we stop being intentional. We stop going after repentance and fighting for it and fighting for change. And over time, we slowly drift away. You know, here in Romans, in the book of Romans, if you know a little context, this was a church that was built, but then the ruler pushed all of the Christians out of Rome. So you had all these Jewish Christians, and they all got pushed out. And all that was left were kind of the pagan, you know, Christians, the pagan converts. And they're all baby Christians. So you had this baby, you know, all these baby Christians doing church, loving it. And then the Jewish Christians started coming back. And so the book of Romans is a letter to try and, you know, talk to them about how to really work things out between the Jewish Christians who had grown up with this, who had been taught the Bible, and these pagan Christians. And he's trying to tell them, stop doing things the way that you've been taught this whole time. Stop doing religion the way the rest of the world does. Stop trying to just obey and do the things you're supposed to do, and see God's mercy and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the Jews were coming in and telling the pagans, hey, you got to do it this way, and you got to do it this way. But they were missing the transformative power of Jesus. And they were doing Christianity the way the world did religion. You know, I think we can do that, right? We can conform to do Christianity, to live our lives, to do our discipleship the way the rest of the world does. Mm-hmm. We can sit back. We can become passive and demand that people, you know, do everything for us. We can just, you know, try and be impressed. Okay, impress me with the worship. Impress me with the preaching. Mm-hmm. Impress me with this. But and we slowly gravitate towards the way the world does religion. And we lose our discipleship. You know, we start to bite and devour each other and fight over our culture, and we fight over other things, and we stop the love. We stop caring about each other over time. You know, people who conform to the world have never done anything of significance in the world. And God didn't set you free so you could slowly drift back to where you were before. You know, last year, I went scuba diving with my dad, and we were in San Diego, and it was awesome. And we were scuba diving, and we were going, and we were following the guide, and we're following him, and we saw some fish, and we were watching him. And about 20 minutes went by of us kind of following, watching, and we look up, and we had no clue where anyone was. We completely lost everybody. And we're like, oh, they're probably over here. And so we started looking and looking, and we couldn't find them. And so what we're supposed to do is we go up to the surface, we look out, and we had drifted 100 yards away from where everyone was. We were out at sea instead of in the cove where we were supposed to be. And we didn't even notice it. We thought we were following our guide and got 100 yards away from him, just mindlessly, just not being intentional. So he says here, right, he says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, we have to be transformed. We can't just not conform, but we have to transform our mind.
Yeah.
You know, I love what Kat, right? Kat said, she said, I was missing repentance, right? We have to change our mind. You know, I think a lot of times when we talk about repentance, you know, we either talk about repentance, like it was so great when I did it, when I was when I became a Christian, and that was awesome. But then when we talk, hey, you really need to repent. Most of the time I talk to people, their response is very obligatory. It's like a child being told they have to clean their room. All right, you know, okay. You know, they know they have to do it, but it's the worst thing to be told. But here, Paul, he's encouraging them. He's reminding them how incredible repentance is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for me, the thing that I really believe is that repentance is not an obligation. It's not a duty we have to do as Christians, but it's an incredible gift that God has given us. It's one, I really think it is one of the greatest blessings that God has given us, is the ability to repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, so much of my life, I grew up, I was raised in our fellowship of churches. I grew up, and for so much of my life, I saw it as, you know, following Jesus is just a list of do's and don'ts. And I memorized scripture so I can get snacks at, you know, for on Sunday. But you know, when I really started seeing, as I got older, I really started seeing people's lives transformed.
Mm-hmm.
I started seeing my friends in school and seeing their parents fight and see, you know, that just the endless worth, for better or worse, worthlessness of their life. And I saw people who were so different when I went to church, people who were transformed, who were unlike anything I'd ever seen. And all I could think was, I just want to be like them. It was one of the biggest reasons that I decided I wanted to become a Christian was, you know, I had to realize that I had sin eventually, but initially I was like, I just want to make an impact, to have a transformative life, and, you know, in a life that changes the world like these people have. I saw people who were in their 40s, who were in their 50s, who were in their 70s, and they were doing things that, you know, I could only imagine doing. And I wanted that. You know, I didn't feel like I had an empty hole in my heart. I didn't, you know, I felt like my life was great, but I was missing this incredible gift of repentance. And I feel like now over the last, I think about 16 years of being a Christian, one of the things I love the most is being able to look back and to see how much God has transformed my life. Mm-hmm. I love to be able to look back and go, wow, like that's who I was 5 years ago. That's who I was 10 years ago. I was so dumb. I was so sinful. And just to be able to see the blessing that God has given me, the ability to be the dad I am and the husband I am, and the ability to, you know, that I don't have to pay the price that so many of my friends are paying for living like the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. It's one of the greatest gifts God's ever given me, is the opportunity to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. The opportunity that every day I get to wake up and change and be different. And I don't have to be like I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, that I can change my mind. I can be different. I want peace. I want contentment. I want joy. I want freedom. And, you know, I don't want to feel insecure all the time. I don't want to feel anxious all the time. I don't want to feel depressed all the time. These are things that in my natural state, that when I conform to the world, that I feel. But I don't want my mind to be consumed by that. I want, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be transformed. I'm so grateful that I can change my mind. You know, you go to a bookstore and the biggest section in a bookstore is how to be happy. Mm. And I don't have to go and read all those books. I can find it and I can change my mind. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is those books don't really work. But I have the opportunity. I've been given the gift to repent. You've been given the incredible gift to be transformed, to live a life with meaning and purpose, to have real peace, to have actual joy, to have freedom, not just the first month you're a Christian, but the first 50 years you're a Christian, and for it to only get better over time. You know, I look at the world, and as I get older, the more and more I look at my friends and the things, and, you know, they have all the nice stuff. They have all the nice cars and the big houses, that they go on these expensive trips all over the world, and they have the nice clothes that I could never afford, and they also have all the medicine that I don't need to take, and to give them the things that I can have through Jesus. You know, I don't have to live a life where I have everything and still have nothing. This was the encouragement that Paul gives us, is that we don't have to be like the world. We can be transformed. We can live a life of transformation. Mackenzie, you want to share a little bit?
Yeah, a couple of things that just come to my mind. So I was baptized 12 years ago, freshman year of college. And, you know, I remember when I first became a Christian, you know, you have lots of friends who go to church as well, and especially the South. And I grew up Southern Baptist, so around religious people my entire life. You know, I'm like, okay, we've got some doctrine stuff off, but honestly, over the 12 years, I have seen them conform to where it's just kind of sad. And it's a little disappointing. We'll get together, we'll go out to eat. I mean, these people are some of my friends, but there's a difference. And it just got really sad. It hit me this year. I'm like, wow, 12 years ago, I was kind of like, maybe they'll start to really think differently and come around. I'm like, they've gotten further and further away, because they've, you know, are just like the world. You know, religious people want to seem cool or hip or, you know, fit in or whatever the case may be. And I think even for me, when I thought of, you know, Kendall was going to share all this, I was like, the scripture that popped into my head was Galatians 5, verse 1. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." I think it's really easy to think freedom and compare it to like America freedom, to Jesus's freedom, to like, I just want to do what I want. It's like, that's not what that means.
Yep.
And so it's like freedom, like from my sins, freedom to be with God. He opened up everything. freedom to be set free from guilt, condemnation, and freedom to be transformed like Jesus, to be like Jesus. You know, like I said, I grew up going to, in a Southern Baptist culture. So I think for me, it was hard because everyone's like, wow, you're so spiritual, Mackenzie. And I'm just like, no, I'm not. You people do not know the sin I'm in. And I've told no one. And so I just was like, and I don't know anything about the Bible. I couldn't tell you a character or anything. Like, all I knew was like, Noah built an ark and Jesus died for my sins. That's like what I comprehended going to church my entire life. And even like, and then, so then I entered college and I was at a point where I was like, okay, either Christianity is like super boring and you just have to do everything right, or you don't have to do everything. You just kind of like pick and choose what you want. So you can still sin. You can like, you know, you don't have to change. And so I'm like, what's the point? Like, it just seemed just not like fun life. It was very, in my mind, uninspiring. I was like, I don't know what this life is about. It seems boring. So when I entered college, I wasn't super seeking God or very much interested. I was just like, well, I guess this is it. And so got invited to a Bible discussion and it just kind of blew me away. I'm like, what are these young people doing? Like preaching the word. There's like no preacher status going on, what I'm used to. No, like people on their 50s or something leading us. Like my, this, I mean, I think the guy was my age, now thinking about him, still Brother Amen. And I'm like, okay, a guy my age is leading this discussion. He sounds like he's knowing what he's talking about. So it just was like odd to me. And so I was like, so of course, start studying the Bible. Yes, with Brittany Wright. Now, Brittany Sherwood. And some other girls. And I was just like, okay, these people know where scriptures are. They're flipping the pages back and forth. I was like, and y'all sound like you actually do this. Like, I'd never met people like that. I'd never met someone who actually read the Bible and put it into practice. I thought you just didn't have to do it. I was like, oh, that's for them, you know? The 12 disciples of Jesus, that's who really follows the Bible. That's where I was at. And so I think, you know, I'm so grateful for that 12 years ago. And I remember it so well because it was so impactful because I was around people. I was like, okay, this is what I want. I knew something was different about a God, this God, didn't know what it was. So it was so cool to like really get to know the real Jesus, to actually know what the Bible says. I was like, oh, wow, that's what it says. This is where this came from. I didn't know anything. But it is still so easy to be deceived by our deceiver, Satan. Like that was my old master. And sometimes it comes back. And a lot of times when that comes back, my thinking is like, oh, I get tired of not sinning. And instead of trying to obey God, I just start living in like out of obligation. Or I can walk on eggshells of fear of messing up. Or even I just focus on what others think rather than what God thinks. And all of these, all of those motivations, those thoughts are conforming to my feelings, conforming to the world, or conforming to people. And it's just not Jesus at all. You know, I remember over these past 12 years, I'm like, oh, I want to be Jesus. I want to be the person who'll touch a leper. I'm like, what? Why did he do that? He didn't have to do that. Snap your fingers. They're healed. You know, that he breaks through barriers and goes and talks to a woman who is a Samaritan. I was like, who is this person who breaks social barriers? This is who I wanted to be. When I was reading the Bible for the first time, I was like, oh my gosh, why isn't this Jesus being preached? More people would change. It's kind of how I felt because I was like, I never met this person. And I was just like, oh, I have to remember Jesus, mm-hmm. You know? I don't want to become a better Mackenzie. And I certainly didn't want to become, like, I felt like growing up, it was like, you become a better person. And I was like, I don't want to be like that person. Because, you know, whether I felt hurt by them or some situation, but Jesus is like, wow, he gets through to everyone. Like, I want to be like Jesus. And that's what I have to go back to. I'm like, I'm supposed to be like Jesus, and not let my old master come back. And so I think I'm just so grateful, especially for that scripture that I shared in the beginning, Galatians, is like, I have no yoke of slavery. Why put myself in that burden? Jesus died so I could be set free, free from having to feel this, whatever religious tension I grew up with, that I'm free from my sin. It's accomplished. It's done. It is a fact. And so I have to live the rest of my life pursuing Jesus, pursuing this goal of a freedom life. And it is hard, don't get me wrong, because this world is like crazy. but I have to bring myself back to Jesus. I have to pursue Jesus and know that I am set free and I can live my best life and live the best life with Jesus, being transformed like Jesus.
Amen. At the end of Romans 12, 2, it says, don't be conformed to the path of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, the more that we transform our mind, the more that we change the way we think, the more we fight against what our world is shoving at us, the more we know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That, to me, that just sounds incredible. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, I want to be a little bit practical here, you know, as we close out. You know, as you think, so I don't want to conform and I want to transform. What's one way that you feel like Satan wants to slowly pull you to conform to the world? What's one area that maybe you haven't focused on, you haven't thought about recently, that maybe you're just slowly drifting? And not even that it's super sinful, but just that you're slowly thinking and acting like the world. And what's one way that you can really fight to transform your mind? What's one way that you can go, you know what, I want to repent. I want to change my mind today in this way. It doesn't have to be, here's the 50 things I can change today. This is the 50 ways that I'm going to change my mind. But what's one way that I can fight against my culture? I can fight against this world and I can really be like Jesus? Because we want to know and to be able to live in God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. There is nothing better than that. And I know that we're all convinced of that. It's great to be here with all of you guys. And I've been inspired. I feel like, man, I want to be more transformed like you guys. And, you know, it's inspiring to hear about the 19 people becoming Christians this year and the way that you have transformed your mind. And the truth of the matter is that's probably the easiest transformation you're going to make over the next 50 years as you're going to dig into the deep stuff and the nitty gritty. But you're starting this incredible journey of being able to see God's incredible will for your life. And it doesn't come through being a theologian, but it comes through simply changing your mind. Simply, you know, using and the gift that God has given you. So hopefully this encourages you and inspires you to together be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen.
Amen.